Okay, good evening. It's good to be back in a room filled with adults rather than high school students. Yes, indeed. Okay. So we were in the middle of discussing the sugya of Kshem Shasur Lebael, Kach Asur Lebael. Our focus in recent weeks has been upon the Isur Lebael. She has an affair with a man. She can no longer continue to live with him. It is a prohibited relationship. Last week, we were working on one of the single most interesting anomalies when it comes to the Isur Lebael, and that is its contingency on the Isur Lebael. We noted that the Gemara in Ksubos asks how David was allowed to marry Bathsheba if they had an affair, and there is a notion of Isur Lebael. And the Gemara answered, the Gemara offered two answers. One, that they weren't really, that Uriah and Bathsheba weren't really married. There was a hidden get. The second one was that it was Ones Hava. It was against her will. She was halachically, at least, coerced. So the Rishonim wondered, that's fine, that's well and good in terms of explaining why Bathsheba didn't do anything wrong and why she should be permitted to her husband. But David acted willingly, David acted with intent. So why should she be permitted to David if David was a willing partner in this sin? He acted willingly, he acted purposefully. That was the question that bothered many of the Rishonim. And the answer that many of them gave, we'll see hopefully a couple of other answers tonight, or at least one other answer tonight, was that in any case where a woman is permitted to her husband, she's permitted to the Bo'el as well. If there's no Isur Lebael, there's no Isur Lebo'el, the Isur to the Bo'el is somehow contingent on the Isur Lebael. And we began to discuss why that's the case. Certainly one could have thought that the Isur Lebo'el should be entirely independent from the Isur Lebael. Okay, in the case, like we said, in the case where she's raped, she did nothing wrong, the husband did nothing wrong, so we can understand why they are permitted to one another. The rapist certainly did something wrong, as the Rashash said. Kol Shekein should be, he should have a prohibition. He did something far worse than having a marital affair and having a sexual relationship with a married woman is bad enough from a halachic standpoint. But he also raped her. It's even worse. There's Kal V'chomer, there should be an Isur. That was the problem of the Rashash. And yet, we have some Rishonim, like the Rush. We noted the Rush kind of contradicts himself in different places, but the Rush in certain places, in Source 18, says, it doesn't make any sense that there would be an Isur Lebo'el when there's no Isur Lebo'el. That was the underlying line that we saw in 18. To lo mistaber lo Isur Lebo'el kishim buteres Lebo'el. There's no Svara. It doesn't make any sense to create a prohibition to the Bo'el when she's permitted to the Ba'el. And we could come up with a very good reason why she'd be prohibited the bow when there's no bow. He did a very grave sin. He should not be allowed to continue living with this woman. Then we saw it taken a step even further by the Rashba and that very same Rashash. The Rashba suggested that perhaps in any case where there are no witnesses and the husband can never find out about it, he will never know, or at least it can never halachically be established, there won't be an Isur Lebo'el. Because the husband will never know, because it will never really impact their relationship, because it can never halachically be proven that it occurred, and because that will never create a separation between the Baal and his wife, because there are no witnesses, there won't be an Isur Lebo'el either. The Rashba said that's too far. If there's a consensual affair, you're going to tell me that just because there weren't witnesses, these people living in sin can continue, can now get married afterwards, after... You know, obviously they can't get married while she's married to another man. But in the case of Uriah HaChiti, so they had a consensual affair, and just because Uriah died, now they can get married? The Rashba said that's inconceivable. That was the Havamina of the Gemara, but it's rejected. The Rashash went so far as to say we should pass it that way, halacha l'maisa. As long as there are no witnesses, even if it was a fully willing and consensual and purposeful affair, they can continue living together.
And if you had witnesses, they'd get killed.
No Asra, let's say. No Asra. You asked the same question last week.
I know, but you can come to Beis Din and say something even though you didn't give Asra.
They'd have to come into Beis Din because the Baal would have to know that she's Asura.
But wouldn't they have to give the Asra, or somebody else has to give the Asra?
That's a good question about Asra.
I think it's
a machlokas. I'm not sure about that.
Because it makes no sense. If they had to give Asra...
It doesn't make a difference. They'll say they didn't give Hasra. They'll say nobody gave Hasra. But they still have to come into Beis Din, or they still have to tell the husband that his wife had an affair so that he knows not to continue living with her in normal married fashion. Right? So, we addressed that the first week we did the sugya.
I know, but just with all this here, it makes no sense.
It's a machlokas in the Gemara. One day in our Gemara indeed asserts that it was not Eish HaZesh. Another day in the Gemara asserts that it is Eish HaZesh. We noted that that's a machlokas in the Gemara there as well. Rav says, the reason why Rebbe's saying that is because... The reason why Rebbe is saying that is because he's a descendant of David, right? We know that Rebbe Rehuda Nasi was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. The Nasi in Eretz Yisrael were all descendants of Beis David. Rav said, oh, the reason why he's claiming that David didn't sin is because David was one of his ancestors, one of his forefathers. He's trying to cover up his family reputation. I wouldn't have said that, but Rav said it. Rav was a student of Rebbe. Rav was a first-generation Amora, one of the greatest of the Amoraim, Rav Tanahu Palig. Rav said that. So we were basically left with that conundrum. How can you say that just because there's no Isser L'Baal, there's no Isser L'Boel? Why should they be contingent on one another? And how can the Rashash go as far as to say that as long as there are no Edim, even if it was a fully consensual and willing affair, there were no witnesses, there's no Isser L'Boel? So what we suggested is a Chakira. Let's actually go through the last source that we started going through last time, and then we'll highlight the Chakira. Look at verse 21. This is what we kind of left off with. This we didn't really get a chance to develop it at the end of last year. The Mishnah Melech quotes Maharas Ason. Shenestapek abe boel sheni im neesro lo kivan shekvar haisa asura the omedas. He gives the following case: you have a woman who has an affair and with Reuven. And then decides that that's not enough, so she has an affair with Shimon afterwards. Maharas Ason wants to know, is she Asura to Shimon? Again, she has an affair with Reuven. She's definitely Asura to Reuven. She's Asura L'Baal, Kach Asura L'Boel. Now she has a second affair with another man, with Shimon. Is she Mutaris or is she Asura? What would you say intuitively? Yeah, she should definitely be Asura, right? They had an affair. Is this affair any better than the first affair? Is it more halakhically acceptable simply because she had an affair already? So why should that be the case? And indeed, look at the Shvas Yaakov, supplemental Meir Mekomos. Source 6. He says, Tshuva asher hashivosi b'mei chorfi. This is the second paragraph. No, let's take it from the top. There's a machlokes, whether it's asur l'baal, hanu davka kisha osu haboel hu harishon she asra l'baal, avalim kvar haisa asur l'baal machmas acher she asra im muteres l'zay haboel asheni kisha yigarshana haboel. Right? He's already giving a hint as to what his lumdus is in this language, but he says, should she be Asura to the second Boel, as I certainly would have said intuitively, or no, perhaps because she's already prohibited to her husband, she should be permitted to this Boel Sheni. Shvas Yaakov is not having any of it. Look at the second paragraph. It seems to be a Befer Shigemara. Going into the details here, actually, let's take a look at source 5. I quoted the Gemara that he was talking about. The case is as follows. The Gemara says that there's a din of Edim Zomamin, right? What are Edim Zomamin? Witnesses come and testify that Reuven was Oved Avodah Zarah, okay? And then a second set of witnesses come and say, you couldn't have seen Reuven being Oved Avodah Zarah. You were with us in California at the time that you're claiming that you testified that you saw Reuven being Oved Avodah Zarah here in Lawrence, New York. So you can't be telling the truth. What is the punishment for Edom Zomamin? Kasher Zomam Lasos La'achiv. In most cases, there are exceptions, as highlighted at the beginning of the Seftz Makos, but in most cases, you do to them whatever they tried to do to somebody else. If they were trying to put Reuven to death for doing Avodah Zarah, then we can put them to death for trying to issue capital punishment falsely. But the Gemara says, they can sometimes get out of it by claiming that their intent wasn't really to administer Misa. Take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Hakan Amika Amar, Mitok She'ein Ne'eragin, She'yicholin Lomar Lo'osur Al-Bai Lo'banu, Af Hi Ein Ne'eragas, Tehavi Lo'idah She'yata Yachol La'azima. The Gemara, I'm not going to go into the whole context of the Gemara, but the Gemara basically says as follows. Let's say they testify that there was an affair. A woman had an affair with Reuben. Okay, Sarah had an affair with Reuben. The Gemara says, so really, and they are proven to be Edom Zomimin, what should be their punishment? Misa, right? There should be Onesh Misa. Gemara says, no, maybe they can claim we weren't really trying to give her capital punishment. We were trying to issue an Onesh Misa. What were we trying to do? We were just trying to create an Isra on the Baal. We were just trying to warn this poor guy that he can no longer halachically continue living with his wife. We weren't trying to kill her. They have like an out. They can claim that wasn't really our intent. Our intent wasn't to issue capital punishment. Our intent was to just let the husband know that he can no longer continue living with his wife. Then the Gemara continues. Look at the second to last line. What about a case, Kisha Zinsa, the Chazra of a Zinsa? Our case. She had an affair with Reuven, and then later had an affair with Shimon. And look at the underlined line in the Gemara. Payacholin lomar la osra al boala sheni banu. They can claim, what was our intent? Not to issue capital punishment, but rather to make her prohibited to Shimon, that guy with whom she had the affair. Clearly, the Gemara here is assuming that she'd be Asura to both Reuven and Shimon. Shmos Yaakov says you have a Mefarish Gemara, which indicates that...
No, but there are Edim. Maybe when there are Edim, we might be...
We're also dealing with a case where there are Edim. There's no... The question is, Maharas HaSon is not saying there were no Edim. Maharas HaSon is saying there were Edim on the second affair. And yet you have a Mefarish Gemara that says it. So he quotes a Shar Ephraim, who gives like a really... He kind of scratches his ear, left ear with his right hand. He does like a whole fancy acrobatics to try to get out of that proof from the Gemara. But it shows you that clearly the Maharas HaSon had a certain conception, or at least conceptual vision of what the Issur L'Baal should be. Whenever you have a Rishon who's saying something in spite of a Gemara that clearly implies, or an Acharon, saying something in spite of a Gemara that clearly implies in the opposite direction, that means they have a very firm conviction in the Svara that they are suggesting, right? If you have a Gemara that seems to militate against what you're saying, and yet you maintain that what you're saying is true anyway, that's a good indication of a very firm conviction. So what is going on in the Maharas HaSon? We suggested as follows. Perhaps the question of Boel Sheni, the question of a case where there are no Edim, the question of whether or not it should be contingent on the Baal, goes back to a central chakira, a central conceptual distinction regarding the nature of the Isser L'Boel, right? Is the Isser L'Boel a function of the Chumras Ha'Aveira, the Chumras Ha'Isser, that existed between the Boel and the Isha? They engaged in this terrible sin together, they cannot continue living together. If they started their, well, you could, different ways you can formulate it, but two people who had this relationship in grave sin cannot continue living together, even if somehow she gets divorced or the husband dies. If they had that Isur, they shared that Erva together, they can no longer continue living together. If that's the case, then it's very hard to understand why it should be contingent on the Isur L'Baal. Who cares that she's not prohibited to her husband? They still committed this very grave sin together. Why should they be allowed to continue living together? It doesn't make a difference whether or not she's permitted to her husband. It shouldn't really make a difference. Then we're left struggling to explain all of these shitas in the Rishonim. It shouldn't matter whether he's the Boel Rishon or the Boel Sheni. Why should that make a difference? The sin is just as grave in each circumstance. So who cares that she had a previous affair? It should certainly still be usher for Shimon to continue living with her. That was tzad number one. But then we suggest perhaps there's a second way to understand this Isser L'Boel. There's a separate way to understand the Mechayev. The Mechayev of the Isser L'Boel, what triggers that prohibition, is not the gravity of the sin that they committed together. It's not the Chumras HaAveira. It is the fact that this Boel halachically destroyed the marriage of this woman. He destroyed the relationship between man and wife. The Baal can no longer continue living with her. And if he destroyed their relationship, he cannot reap the benefits and swoop in there and then marry this woman. The Mechayev is not the Aveira that he performed per se. It's the ramifications of that Aveira. The Mechayev is the fact that he destroyed the relationship between man and wife. That is why the Torah says there is an Isser L'Boel. K'shem she'asur L'Baal, kach asur L'Boel. It's a deliberate formulation. It's not that there happens to be an Isser L'Baal and Isser L'Boel, two separate entities that happen to occur in the same circumstance. The Isser L'Boel is a function of the Isser L'Baal. This, we noted, this relates back to the very source, the very machlokas about the source for the Isser L'Boel. Is it v'nitma of v'nitma, two different words that appear in different places in the Torah? Or no, as Rabbi Akiva says, is it just the Vav Achibor? Nitma, the Vav at the beginning of Nitma, v'nitma teaches you the Isser L'Boel. So what might be the conceptual difference between those two ways of learning the Issur LeBoel? Are they two different things? There's a Nitma'a LeBa'al and there's a separate Nitma'a LeBoel? Or no, there's one word, V'nitma'a. The Vav at the beginning comes to include the Boel as well. It's an extension of the original Issur LeBa'al. And through that we noted, you can explain all of the anomalies that we noted. Then it's obvious. Why should there only be an Issur LeBoel when there's an Issur LeBa'al? Because that is the whole nature of the Mechayev. The whole Mechayev is that he destroyed the relationship between Baal and Isha. How can we test it? Test what?
What happened to this theory, which
one it is? Because yeah, all these, we've tested a number. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
I don't know if you can think of it, where she would not be allowed to him only because of the coin, let's say.
Isha's coin, yeah.
Maybe not allowed
to
Nature's
coin, maybe. And therefore, if she's Nature's coin, yeah. If she's not allowed to him, then she shouldn't be allowed to the book. But it's not the same level of if he was less against Yisrael. Can you come up with a case like that? So,
if... Yeah, I'll give you
a case like that. What case is that? That's a case where she's raped, right? That's exactly the first case we were dealing with.
She's raped.
Right. That, a test, how would you say test in Gemara language, to test a theory?
Nafkamina.
Yeah, it's a nafkamina. So what's our first nafkamina? Exactly the issue that you're highlighting, namely a case where there's ones. Right? Let's take two random names, David and Bathsheba, okay? David, the theoretical case, is Ma'anes Bathsheba, right? Okay? In that case, she's permitted to her husband.
Right?
Right?
Let's say her husband was a Kohen.
If her husband was a Kohen, she'd be Asura to her.
And would she be Asura to the
Baal? Yeah. Well, you're saying, we haven't seen an explicit... We haven't seen an explicit case where... No, that's a good point. But I think what the based on what all these Rishonim are saying, all these...
Yeah, yeah. But if that would work in that case...
Yeah, but certainly for the...
Really
right. But for Tosvos and for the Rush, they would say that Taka, in that case, she would be Asura to the Boa. Exactly. You're 100% right. No. They don't articulate that explicitly, but
that's the way it would work.
Exactly. It emerges directly... They said the reason why David was allowed to marry Bathsheba is because... She was permitted to her husband.
Right.
Kamash Malan, if she was Asura to her husband,
right. She
would be prohibited to David HaMelech. Exactly. That's our first nafkamina. So again, a case where she's permitted to her husband, let's say because of rape, right? Only an Eishes Kohen is prohibited to her husband. And yet she's permitted to the Boel. If it's the Chumras HaAveira, there's no reason why she should be permitted to the Boel. And as we'll see, and as we already saw, some Rishonim say it has nothing to do with the Baal. They have to explain the Gemara in another way. They have to get around the Gemara in another way. Right? But the Rishonim who say that the Issur LeBoel is contingent on the Issur LeBaal would have to be adopting the second theory. That the Mechayiv, the Issur LeBoel, is the fact that he halachically destroyed the relationship between Baal and Isha. And then, if you want to go, and then it also explains the Maharas Ason, right? Why is it that this second Boel, Shimon, has no prohibition to this woman? I'm sorry? Exactly. That's essentially what he says. She's not going to be Asura to Shimon. The sin was just as bad, I promise. Eishes Ish, it's bad across the board. Doesn't matter how many affairs she had beforehand.
Really, you could say the level of sin depends on two things. The level of sin is going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of the Eishes Ish is the same in both cases, right? I understand what you're saying. We don't have to get in.
It's a nuance.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't mean like Klapei Shemaya. How many minuses does he get on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Like that's not.
The question is it but.
You're right. You can say that because there's like a concept of Uvas Lo Yuchal Liskon, that sometimes when the ramifications of an avera are worse, like the avera itself is worse. One example Kumar Chagiga gives is Mamzeres. It's one thing to have an incestuous or a relationship or an affair, right? When that relationship leads to a mamzer who can never get married, and then it's called me'uvas lo yuchal liskon. That you can't fix that. Now then the Rishonim talk about. Can you really not fix it?
You can. Against two people.
What?
Against
exactly, exactly. And the Gemara there says me'uvas lo yuchal liskon. It's an iniquity that cannot be fixed. And then the Rishonim talk about. Can you really not do tshuva? Maybe you can do tshuva. We know that you can always do tshuva. So there's a whole discussion. It comes up. It comes in a number of places. The primary location for this sugya is the Gemara in Chagiga. It comes up in Yevamos. But So yeah, that would be an example of what you're saying. So when I say chumras ha'avir, I don't mean like, again, like the how you're judged on the Yom HaDin. It's likely that it would be worse if you ruin the relationship. But in terms of just the Eishes Ish is identical in both cases. The halachic avira is the same in both cases, and yet she's mutaris to Shimon. And you'd have to say it's for that same reason. That's exactly what the Maharas HaSona is suggesting, that because he did not destroy the relationship is already broken, he should not have that prohibition. And then finally, if you want to take, in my mind, it's not even a small step, a giant step further, you could even go as far as the Rashash. Ein hachinami, halachically, there was a full affair, consensual and willing on part of both the Boel and the Isha. They both engaged in a willing and consensual affair. But because there were no witnesses, and because the Baal halachically can never find out about it, halachically can never destroy their marriage, it's not going to be usher. The Mechayev never kicks in. Now that is still a giant step further than the case where she's raped. Because here in this case, right? The act itself is sufficient to prohibit her to her husband. There's a technical thing that you don't have the right means of communication. You can't communicate that to the husband. Give me one second. You can't communicate that to the husband because you don't have the witnesses, which is the necessary halachic means of communication to let the Baal know about it. Right? Which is why the Rashba said, even though in the case of Ones, she'll be Muteras the Boel, he wasn't willing to go as far as to say that in a case where you just don't have witnesses, she's going to be Muteras the Boel. But the Rashash was willing to go out on that limb and say that as long as pragmatically the husband and wife will be able to continue living together, which is the case because you can't prove it to the husband, there isn't going to be an Issur Boel.
Who said it was not the rape, it could have been an affair.
No, the Gemara suggested ones. That's exactly what the Rashba was suggesting. In the Havamin of the Gemara, they thought that the reason why Masheva is Mataris LeDavid is just because there were no witnesses. That's what the Rashba suggests. He suggests, in the end, they reject that, because Rashba says nobody's willing to go that far. Little did he know that a couple of hundred years later, the Rashash would come along, and he would be willing to go that far. But, we'll get to Vinitma. I would intuitively think that you still would qualify as Vinitma. She was still defiled. She still had the affair. Vinitma, I want to get back to, because that's. I'm glad you said that, because it's going to be important going forward. But take a look at Source 24, Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech really explicates this Chakira very nicely, and he actually reads it into the text of our Gemara. Look at what he says. This is like great. This is I really like this Mishnah Melech, both for the Tochen, for its contribution to our sugya, and also it's an excellent methodological Mishnah Melech in terms of the methodology that he employs in reading the Gemara, how he uses the Gemara as a springboard for framing the contours of a conceptual issue is really excellent. So let's take a look at it. Achani mistapik. Heicha dehaya haboel mezid im asurula. Exactly the case that we're dealing with. The Boel is purposeful, is willing, has intent. The Isha, let's say, is ne'enza. Let's say it's a case of rape. Reuven rapes a married woman. Mi amrinon, shedin ze de asura leboel, hu mishum de asura leba'al, aval kol shelo asura leba'al sharia leboel? Or no? He's saying, is it a function of the fact that he is the one who created the prohibition between man and wife? He's effectively asking our Chakira. And look at what he says next. Second paragraph. Shuvra isi shadavar zehu shas aruch perakamad ksubos. I subsequently found that there's an explicit Gemara that addresses this. Where? In the first paragraph of ksubos, conveniently dates, our Gemara. Damrinon. The chi tema maise shahaya mipne malo asra hosam anusa havis. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, why wasn't Bathsheba asura to David? Why wasn't she prohibited to David? Because she was anusa, but David was willing. So he says, I have a proof that even in a case where the Boel was purposeful, had intent, was willing, she is still going to be permitted to him as long as she is permitted to her husband. I have a proof. Hein emes tehasam ika tirutza achrina, tehainu kol ayotze lomochemes bes David get krisis kosev l'ishta. But any notes, but it is true, that there's another answer in the Gemara. The Gemara asked, why was Bathsheba permitted to David, and offered two answers. One was Anusa Haisa, It was against her will. She didn't have halachic consent. What was the second answer?
She wasn't married.
She wasn't married. Get krisus ishto. Now look at what he does with this. This is fantastic, methodologically. V'yesh lehistapik im tirut zeh polig atirut zakama. Now I have to wonder, says the Mishnah Lamelach, maybe this second answer in the Gemara would not agree with the first answer of the Gemara regarding its conceptual assumption. Let's just read it and then I'll flesh out what exactly he's doing, because it's really fantastic. V'sfirle the kol she'apoel hu mezid asuralo. Maybe that second answer in the Gemara thinks that in the case of Ones, she would be Asura to the Boel. Namely, let's take what he... Let's finish reading first. O Dilma, Diladina Moda Latirut Zakama. Maybe it would agree regarding the Halacha with the Tirut Zakama, El Dekushta Demil Zakamar. But it's just telling us what really happened. Afilu Haisa Himazidim Mutaris Haisa Ladavid, the Ein Kana Vera Klau.
So the whole question is, if you liked the first answer, didn't like it.
That's the second. The second
answer.
Exactly.
The second answer.
The Mishnah Lamelach does something excellent here, and I think this is like a very good, it's a very good demonstration of methodologically how to read a Gemara like this. The first, let's say, deal with the first answer of Anusa. Okay? She was Anusa, and therefore she is prohibited, she was Anusa, therefore she's permitted to the Boel. Because she's permitted to her husband, she's permitted to the Boel as well. Then the Gemara comes and offers a second answer. No, it wasn't Anusa. Get krisus hayakosev le'ishto. Now the Mishnah Melech wonders as follows. Why did the Gemara provide a second answer here? One option is, it thought the first answer was not a good answer. That doesn't answer our question. Why? Halachically it wasn't a good answer. It was insufficient. Because in a case of Anusa, even though she was raped, she would still be prohibited to David. Why? Because the Boel had conscious intent. That's one option. The alternative is... It's telling you what happened.
The alternative is the right answer.
Why? Well, one second. Let me just flesh it out. Then the alternative is that it's just telling you what happened. It's telling you Maisa Shehaya. I agree with you. Theoretically, if it was Ones, then she would be permitted to David. But that's not what happened. What happened was get krisus kosev leishto. So the Mishnah Melech is unsure. Does everybody agree that the Isra Leboel is contingent on the Isra Lebaal? Or he says maybe there's actually a machlokes in the Gemara. Yeah. It's a great read of the Gemara. He's intellectually honest about it. He has like both options there, methodologically very sound. And he's suggesting that perhaps, the whole Chakira that we've been raising until now, in the Rush, in the Rashash, in the Maras Hasson, is nothing less than a machlokas in the Gemara itself.
So
yeah, what were you going to say?
One little contextual issue.
Contextual, not textual.
Textual.
Yeah.
Textual issue is the whole Gemara talks about it. Anybody who says that doesn't make was a chote is wrong. And so, even if he did it, and she's an ones, it still makes no one in a bad light.
Right, right.
He's still a rapist.
Right.
Which is not a mitzvah.
No, it's not a mitzvah.
So the whole Gemara comes and teaches that anybody who says David was chote is taught.
So,
that would be a reason.
Yes.
Halachically, that we can accept.
Right.
First reason.
Right. So what I would respond to you is that
what I would respond to you though is that
our Gemara is not the one that uses that line of Eino Elatoa. That's the Gemara in Shabbos, right? That's the Gemara in Shabbos not involved. Our Gemara is interested in a purely halakhic question, like what happened. I'd actually call your point a contextual question rather than a textual one. Namely, what you're saying is if we look at the Gemara in Shabbos, we actually see that there was a machlokas as to what happened. So it's likely that here, this is just another expression of that same historical machlokas as to what happened.
Possibly.
The Gemara in Shabbos is not a halachic context, it's not ours, and yet there also there's a machlokas about historically what occurred, right? Machlokas between Rebbe and Rav. So you're suggesting maybe that machlokas is playing itself out here. But the Mishnah Lamelach, I think, is right in saying that perhaps it's a halachic machlokas as well. Before we move on to any other issues within the Isra Leboel, and I don't think we're going to get to Kinoi and Stira tonight. I think I'm going to leave off Kinoi and Stira for next week.
Imagine that.
We're not going to get to it? Kinoi and Stira is very complicated. Not so much because the Lumdus is complicated, but it requires a lot of background knowledge. There's a very good Rav Chaim. This will be our first Rav Chaim that we go through together. And I don't know if we're going to go through the whole thing. But it's a very key Rav Chaim on Hilchos Ibn Machalitza. There are two Rav Chaims on Hilchos Ibn Machalitza in the Rambam. Both of them are extremely important. The other one that we're not going to do is even more important than the one that we're going to do. So that one lays out principles that really touch on all of halacha. Well, actually, we might even mention that Rav Chaim tonight. But it requires a lot of background information. So I have to really go over the course of the week how I want to present it and the best way to present it. Maybe I'll make like some sheets, because it gets into Yevamos cases. And anyone who's on Yevamos knows there's like a lot of complicated co-wife related here, there. So I might have to make some sheets in advance to try to present that. But in any event, before we move on to any other topics, I want to discuss one final potential ramification of the lumdus that we're presenting here. And that is going back to a machlokas that we saw already in source number 13. Head back to source number 13 for a moment. Source number 13, we were dealing with the following case, okay? Rabbi Nutam had a case where a woman had an affair with a non-Jew who subsequently converts, and they want to get married. That was the case that Rabbi Nutam was dealing with. And the psak of Rabbi Nutam was that... No, that's not what Rabbi Nutam said. It goes back to that in a moment. Rabbi Nutam paskins that they can get married. There's no problem. She's allowed to marry this man with whom she had an affair. After he converts, and he quoted the pasuk in Yecheskel, "Zer masusim, zer masam." It's really like, I mean, it's not a politically correct limud or anything like that, but he says that an Ovid Kochavim is not going to create a prohibition, or will not create an Isser Leboa with this woman. And the Rivam disagreed. If you're on page 4, source 13, it's the bottom line. The Ein Nira LeRivam, that short underline there. Why didn't the Rivam like this? The Ha'al Yedei Bias Ovid Kochavim, page 5, Ne'eser Lebaila. He said that Bias Obed Kochavim can create and does create a prohibition to her husband. Kid Amar Hacha de Ika Prutzos. And he brings a couple of proofs that when a woman has an affair with an Obed Kochavim, she is prohibited to her husband. So we noted at the time that what would Rabbeinu Tam have to say? Rabbeinu Tam would have to say, yeah, it's true that she's prohibited to her husband, but this is the Boel. There is an Isser LeBaal, but there's no Isser... Oh, he's a new person. We're going to get back to that. No, that's not what he said. But we're going to get back to that in a moment, okay? We're going to get back to that in a moment. Yeah. So, yeah, this is... It works even better than I thought initially. But Rabbi Yevam said what... So, Rabbi Natan would have to say what? That it's true, there's an Isser to the Baal. There's no Isser to the Baal. And we spoke at the time, why might that be the case, and what the justification is for Rabbeinu Tam. The notion of Begida, right? Ma'ala vo ma'al versus ma'ala ma'al ba'ashem. We spoke about that at the time. Coming back to this, okay, what's the svar of the Rivan? Just because there's an Isser to the Baal, there has to be an Isser to the Baal. Thoughts? In light of our analysis. Okay. Oh, you're saying because you can't technically have a prohibition. So he converts now.
Okay, but ex post facto.
Okay, so we'll talk about the ex post facto factor in a moment, but... And why that doesn't apply for the Rivam. That's a good point, but we're going to get back to that in a moment. Why is it true that just because there's an Isser LeBaal, there has to be an Isser LeBaal? That's the assumption of the Rivam. And what's that? Yeah, exactly, Arthur. That's exactly the point. In other words, for Rabbeinu Tam, right? We were saying before, we have this chakira in the Isser LeBaal. Is it a function of the Chumras HaAveira? Is it the gravity of the sin? Or is it the fact that he destroyed the marriage, okay? If it's the fact that he destroyed the marriage, it's very hard to maintain what Rabbeinu Tam says, right? In the end, this guy destroyed the marriage, unless you invoke the S post facto factor, which we'll get back to in a moment. But for the Rivam, why is it true that if she's asura to her husband, she must be asura to the Boel? Because he would agree with the Maharas Hasson and with the Rashash and with the Tosfos HaRash that what the Mechayev of the Isser LeBoel is destroying the marriage with her husband. This Ovid Kochavim still destroyed the marriage with her husband. So we could begin to already better understand the Rivam. But there's still a big problem with the Rivam. And that's what everyone's been noting until now. He converts afterwards. That would be the same thing by an ish. The Ein Isser Chal Isser is not applicable here.
No, but you can't put this on somebody who's not acceptable. What? So you're putting a nisr on him anyway that was a nisr?
No, I'm saying, like when she's at Chaim, when she's an ish, right? She's asur to the Boel, right?
Right.
She's asur to the Boel, and yet we create another special isur to Boel, so that after she gets divorced, she's still asur to him. Yeah, no. So what is the Isser Mosif or Kolel? Kolel, I always confuse the two. So the fact that it adds, I don't know if anybody raises this question. It's actually an interesting question. But the fact that it adds an Isser after their divorce would already add something. Ein Isser Chal Isser means the second Isser has to add something in order for the Isser to be Chal. Either make it Usser to more people or to more circumstances. So.
Well, what happens if he doesn't convert? Is she allowed to marry him?
No, you can't marry. That's intermarriage. You can't marry a non-Jew.
I mean, today's day and age, you have to remember that.
Right, it's true, but
okay.
Right. You know, that's no. There's no right. That's lo tishchatein bam is a prohibition in the Torah. We believe in inter-Jewish marriage. Now, what you know? It's something that we have to try to maintain in American Jewry. It's a major contemporary issue. It's an important issue also because it's, you know, Jewish continuity is a serious Jewish value. Anyway, take a look at the Ritva, and this is the problem. So we can understand where the Rivam is coming from. He destroyed the marriage, he should have a prohibition. But we run into that obstacle that everybody's been pointing out. V'im kol zeh. After all the analysis above, the Ritva says, after all of the ways I actually agree with the Rivam, he's like, I think the Rivam is right in terms of his Svara, but nonetheless, Omer Har Rav Rabbeinu Yechiel, that's presumably Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipariz, Ki Dino Shal Rabbeinu Tam B'Maisa Shehaya Din Emesu. Even though for a lot of reasons I agree with the Rivam in terms of his analysis, in terms of his theory, the Ritva says, Halacha L'Maisa, I agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Not for the same reason as Rabbeinu Tam, but for a different reason. The Kivan the Vishosh and Esra Al Baila Goy Hava. At the point when they had the affair, he was a guy, and you couldn't have said Asur Laboel, he's a guy, like we said, he has no prohibition, right? Hashanami lo mitzra alei. Why? The ger shen eskayer kekatan shenolad dami. We have a principle that when a ger converts, he's like a katan, he's like a, it's a new life for him, it's a new, certainly a new, yeah, it's a new state of spiritual renewal. Certainly he's entered into a new and higher, more elevated spiritual state. And we consider the ger, or the gioris as the case may be, as if they are newly born. Nothing. Done nothing. Nothing. And it's an iser to remind them of the things that they did when they were, when you were a guy, you used to do all sorts of horrible things. That's called an iser of anas dvarim. You can't. It's prohibition. You're prohibited to mock them in any way. Bahavtem es ager, the most oft repeated mitzvah in the Torah, many times. Don't know the exact number. 36. The pro Balkore here. No, that's a little. We don't say that because there it's a little bit different. I've never seen anyone address the issue, but my intuition is that my intuition no, nobody would say, it's vaday, nobody would say that unless write a prizbul, right? Rabbi Hain just sent out an email. Everyone write a prizbul. Prizbul is a great topic. What? Why not? Is so let's talk about why not. I have a feeling that what we're going to discuss tonight is probably the same reason why. Right. The point, yes.
What I'm trying to link this.
Maybe
back.
He's a new person.
I'm trying to link this back to the same idea.
Okay, it's a good point. I mean, there are certain ways in certain ways there is continuity from even when he's a guy.
Right.
Okay?
So if he has a marriage, could you say that sticks or doesn't stick? That's my point.
That's obviously going to be what we have to consider for the Rivam, right?
Same thing.
That's what we have to consider for the Rivam. For the Rivam, so hold on. Give me one second. The Rivam, clearly would have to say something like that, right? But at first glance, the Ritva's argument seems to be a very strong one. Gershon is Gayer, Kekatan Shenola Dami. Why should the prohibition carry over.
It doesn't hold for other Isurim of...
So, yeah.
Arias...
What?
The Arias of Arias, if two, a brother and a sister...
No, but there are certain Arias that do carry over from his state of... like whether it's Minha'av or Minha'im, that's a whole discussion in the Gemara Yevamos and elsewhere. Right, so certain things like that do carry over. Now, what carries over and what doesn't is very interesting, and that leads to a whole development of like... halachic perspective on family structure and anthropology and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got a whole halachic perspective, like a halachic anthropological perspective on the family structure. And that's something that we've actually spoken about in the past in the shul. Halachic fatherhood and other familial relationships that exist in halacha and stuff like that. Rosenzweig has an English language article on it, if you're interested. We found the Mayu Torah. But for this particular issue, the Rivam, let's take a look at a Gemara Yevamos. Source 22. It's a Gemara Yevamos of Samach Beis. A parallel Gemara appears in Maseches Bechoros. That one of those interesting cases where we don't say, at least according to one position, Gershon is Gaya Kakatan Shunol Adami. Itmar. Hayu lo banim b'hyoso ovid kochavim min esgayer. A man had children. Say he had a son and a daughter. And then he converted. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kiyem Piriya Verivya. Rabbi Yochanan says he fulfilled Piriya Verivya. Reish Lakish Omar Lo Kiyem Piriya Verivya. Reish Lakish says he did not fulfill Piriya Verivya. We know there's a mitzvah pru or vu. There's a mitzvah to propagate, to have children. Did he fulfill this mitzvah or did he not? Rabbi Yochanan says he did. Reish Lakish says he didn't. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kiyem Piriya Verivya. Tahavule. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, the guy has kids.
But he didn't have the mitzvah at the time.
Tahavule. Reish Lakish Omar Lo Kiyem Piriya Verivya. Why? Guess? It's as if it's a new start for him. It's a new life. He needs to, if he was just born yesterday, then he hasn't had any kids. Says Reish Lakish, he still has a mitzvah of Piriya Verivya. What's the machlokas? No, well, I mean, why shouldn't Gershon Eskayer Kekatan Shenol Adami apply? No.
Maybe that's the problem.
So that is an interesting issue in and of itself. Can you fulfill pru or vu if the children aren't Jewish? That's like a whole separate discussion. The Rambam, it's funny that you mentioned that. The Rambam in this case says all of his, it's only a question if all of his kids converted. If his kids didn't convert and they're still not Jewish, then there's even Rav Yochanan would agree that you haven't fulfilled pru or vu. Yeah, that's like a big chiddush of the Rambam. It's not at all pashut. But Let's leave the Rambam aside for a moment. Let's just look at Rabbi Yochanan. That's not what appears in the Gemara. So in truth, I didn't quote the whole. I'm just going to.
Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold from Gershon Eskayer Kanol Adami, because that wasn't.
Rabbi Yochanan definitely holds from Gershon Eskayer Katan Shenol Adami. That would just from this, you could have said maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that principle, but he definitely holds of the principle. Now I really only quoted. Sorry.
Is that talking for all mitzvahs, or just mitzvahs are same, mitzvahs
are same? We don't have any Gemara that tells us there would be such a distinction.
You can't wipe out mitzvahs are same that's already completed. Just because if...
But it wasn't a mitzvah for him to have children.
But he right. did it.
But so what? But he
let's
had
take over mitzvahs that... I told you again. Shiva mitzvahs bring off.
So let's take a step back. Let's take a step back.
Okay,
let's take a step back.
Children,
let's take
I'm saying that. I'm saying let's go.
Let's take a step back, or Rabbi. So I'm going to preface this by saying that this is a read of the Gemara which is not the most obvious one. If you look, this is in this section of the Gemara, it works really well. I quoted the section of the Gemara that works well for what I'm about to say. The Hemshech of the Gemara has other applications of Gershon Eskayer, which make this a little more difficult to say. But I know that Rav Rosenzweig thinks it's still a possibility in the Gemara, so I'll be somech on him for now, as my Ashley Ravravi. For this reading of the Gemara, but admitting the fact that if you see the whole Gemara, this is not the most obvious reading of the Gemara. It does fit with other issues in the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, though. So, if we were assessing this machlokas methodologically, okay, let's take a step back. Methodologically, we have this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, okay, whether, you know, you have children as an Ovid Kochavim, then you convert, have you fulfilled Periyah V'Rivya or not? Rabbi Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no, Gershon Eskayer Katan Shenol Adami. What is the machlokas about?
Rabbi Yochanan says yes, and
You have fulfilled the mitzvah. Reish Lakish says you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Gershon is Gaier Kakatan Shinul Adami. What's the machlokas about?
Is whether he starts over.
Well, the whole thing is Reish Lakish, by the way.
More broadly, structurally.
On a personal issue, on a historical issue, Reish Lakish was a ger.
No, he wasn't.
It's a Baal Tshuva.
It's
very different from a ger.
It's a Baal Tshuva.
Very different, right? There's no din, you know. I mean, there's a din that b'makom ba'alei tshuva omden afilu tzaddikim gemurim inam omden. We have a very elite status for ba'alei tshuva, but there's no kikatan shenola adami. That's a point that we're going to come back to in a moment, because that is actually very. That's yes. This is a very. It's a strikingly.
And that has deep impressions on a lot of this.
Yeah. You're not kidding, and we're going to come back to that in a second. But Rabbi Yochanan, 10 children. He lost all his kids. He brought he would carry the bone of one of his last children. He would go around being menachem, bereaved parents, saying that I lost all my children. Like, you know, it was
by the way, they were brother-in-law.
It's a tragic story. Yeah, and they argue all the time. And there's also a famous story about what happened when Reish Lakish died, and the whole story of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan lost Reish Lakish. And okay, well, we'll leave that aside for now.
That's in Kuf. Where is it? Kuf Kuf.
That's where it is?
I think so, yeah.
Good?
Tragic story.
Tov. I mean, it's a tragic story. But what do we assess here? We have this machlokas, right? Beyond the historical issues, which I think are going to be relevant in a moment, but most of the time, the historical issues are historical issues, halachic issues are halachic issues. So structurally, we have to assess one of two things. As I always say, right? Very often, not always, but very often, certainly in a majority of circumstances, a machlokes relates to the intersection of two different halachos. What are those two different halachos here? Mitzvah of Peri of Rivia and the principle of Gershon Eskayer Kekatan Shenol Adami. This can either be a machlokes about the scope of Gershon Eskayer Kekatan Shenol Adami, that's the implication of much of the Gemara, or it could be machlokes about Peri of Rivia. What might it be if it's a machlokas about Peri of Rivia? Again, conceding the fact that it's much of the Gemara's mashma that it's the other option, not this one. Is Peri of Rivia merely a mitzvah to propagate? Is it a what we would call a mitzius kind of mitzvah? If you've done it, you've done it. You know, if you have kids, you've done it. It's a mitzius. It's just an objective realia. Or is there something more to Peri of Rivia? I've spoken in the past about how Peri of Rivia has a Talmud Torah element, as reflected by that Rambam that we were talking about. They have to be Misgayer, and by Rashi's, and by other Rambams. There's much to be said on that issue. But there are many indications that Peri of Rivia is not just about Mitzius, not just about the physical propagation, about having kids. It's about transmission of the Mesorah. It's about teaching them Torah. It's about raising them to be Jewish children. And the like. Which one is it?
What would the transmission have to do with the
kind? One second. Now, it's highlighted by another machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and this is one that one has to be very sensitive to, and here's where the historical Rabbi Yochanan becomes very relevant. What happens if a person had many children, and Rachmana Litzlan, they all passed away? So, it's obviously a very sensitive case. Like, you can't, you know. It's not the kind of case that you just talk about in terms of like a theoretical legal discourse. Has one fulfilled Peri of Rivia or not? It's machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If you had to guess, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan says you have not fulfilled Peri of Rivia. It's a case of striking halachic honesty. Rabbi Yochanan, the one who lost all his children, says you have not fulfilled Peri of Rivia in such a circumstance. Reish Lakish says you have. What is the machlokas? I think the machlokas may exactly be this issue. How much is Peri of Rivia just a mitzius? A mitzius. Is it just a reality? You have kids or you don't? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a mitzius. You either have kids or you don't have kids. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in that tragic circumstance where you had kids and they all were niftarim, as the case as Rabbi Yochanan himself experienced in his lifetime, the mitzius, he did not have any kids. He did not leave any progeny. He did not propagate the earth. He failed to perform Peri of Rivia. Or is Peri of Rivia a formal halachic, a formal mitzvah? I've done the Maisa mitzvah, I fulfilled the mitzvah, I had the children, Rachmana Litzlan, something happened, they passed away, but the mitzvah itself has been performed. That's Reish Lakish. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking of it, I mean,
that's, what do you mean?
When would you be yotzei the mitzvah?
Four generations that are all killed in the Holocaust.
You're only yotzei when you if you die before your kids are still alive.
I guess let's say just that after that generation, as long as you're right. It's a good question. Angels ever stay wrong? I mean, it's a tragic question. I never thought about that. Like, I was going to say, when does that ever happen? You're right. Like, say, in the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam, somebody had many progeny, and they were all killed. Probably happened to many people, right? It's a good question. I hadn't thought of that. It's a good question. But at least within the parameters that we're dealing with, that might be the machlokas. Is it mitzius, or is it a formal maisa mitzvah? If it's mitzios, says Rabbi Yochanan, then don't bother me with Gersh and Eskayer Kakatan Shinola Dami. That's a fine halachic principle. It's very nice. But mitzios, lemaisa, okay? Does this person have progeny or does he not?
Yes.
The answer is yes. And if the answer is yes, then he's fulfilled his mitzvah. It is mitziuti. It is all about just the physical reality. If this man has progeny who are carrying his chromosomes, then he has fulfilled the mitzvah. That's it. Don't start bringing in all this fancy lundus of these halachic principles of Gershon Skyer Kakatan Shinola Dami that you learned elsewhere. It's not relevant here. Reish Lakish, for whom the mitzvah period of Rivia is a formal Maisa mitzvah, like other mitzvos, you have to assess it by virtue of its all the halachic principles. You have to take everything into account, including something like Gershon Skyer Kakatan Shinola Dami. For Reish Lakish, if you fulfilled the mitzvah, it doesn't matter whether b'mitzias the kids are around or not. It's not about that physical reality if you fulfill the mitzvah. And you have to take into account certain halachic principles, certain halachic factors. Gershon Iskayer Kakatan Shinola Dami is a relevant factor.
If I get to
Daka, yeah,
and the money gets stolen,
right? So that would not be a mitzius. We wouldn't say that's a mitziuti mitzvah. That's not actually interesting, because in certain ways it does have a mitziuti component. But no, if the money is stolen from the ani, you still were yotzei your mitzvah.
If a man who wants a million ani, you're not yotzei your mitzvah.
Right. But there you didn't even perform. There you didn't even perform the mitzvah. Yeah, you got schar for your intent. You know, it. Hopefully, it makes you. Hopefully, it makes you a better person. But
was he when he had the children?
Right.
When he converted, those children are, regardless of
the if it's the mitzvah is a mitzius rather than a maisa, it doesn't matter.
So
that's exactly the point.
Start over all for his mitzvahs and his aveiros, or just for his aveiros?
Certainly. I don't know. This is not like a question. I don't know how the scales in Shamayim work. That I don't know. But certainly regarding his key, whether or not he has in terms of the normative elements, in terms of whether or not he has an obligation to continue to propagate, that we can talk about. That's the issue in the Gemara. What's up, Nathan?
According to
Gershon's
guy, according to Shlapish, it would be mutter to any of the relatives that he had before.
Why?
His wife, his past wife, his mother, because he's a Gershon's guy.
So that we spoke about. There are certain things for which certain things, like there are certain things that do carry over even for Reish Lakish. Like certain relationships, his krovim in ha'im are going to carry over, and he's not going to be able to engage in any incestuous relationship that he wants.
Can't cut them. It's not cut
but, them. Right, exactly. There are certain dina Yerusha that might not carry over. That's a more Kiddushin. So there are certain halachos that apply. Again, the scope of Gershon Iskayer is a much broader issue, which certainly the Gemara B'chodos is addressing. But that could be the issue here. Basically, what emerges from this, okay, let's just bring it back home, and then we actually aren't going to be able to move to any other issues this week. We'll hopefully do that next week. But to bring it home, Arthur, you're loving that. To bring it home, basically what you have is, in certain cases where things are based on a mitziyut, a reality that exists, Gershon Iskayer Kakatan Shinola Dami will not have the capability to override. Coming back to the Rivam. The Rivam said that Gershon Iskayer Kakatan Shinola Dami is a wonderful principle. It's very nice. It applies in other areas of halacha. It will not help to let this guy who converts, marry this woman. Why? Now, if it's about the Chumras HaAveira, Mechayev is the Chumras HaAveira, then Gershon Iskayer Kakatan Shinola Dami might be quite relevant. You know, he was a ger, he was a guy, it's different, now he converted. Like you were saying, Arthur, maybe he gets a new sheet, a new cheshbon. However, if the Mechayev is the fact that he destroyed the relationship between man and wife, The fact that he destroyed them, and we know the Rivam holds that's the Mechayev, right? Because the Rivam is the one who said that whenever she's Asura Labaal, she's going to be Asura to the Boel as well. How did we explain that? Because the Rivam holds that the whole Mechayev is the destruction of the marriage between man and wife. That is a Metzias. That is a Metzias. He destroyed that relationship. It is not coming back. The Baal and Isha are Asurim Zelazeh. He has to divorce her now. And this guy, this man, is the one who caused it. He is the one who caused the destruction of that marriage. Now you'll tell me that because he converted, you're going to invoke some halachic principle to somehow undo that? No, it's a Metzias. Just like, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you have kids, then and they're carrying your chromosomes, you were Yotzei the Mitzvah, regardless of your change in halachic status, so do here. If that marriage is still destroyed as a function of his actions, then it doesn't matter if you have a principle of Gershon Eskayer Kekatosh Noladam, it doesn't matter if he converts if he has a change in his halachic status. Because the Metzias was created by him, he's still going to be Asura. In that sense, the Rivam is perfectly Lishitasa. The Rivam is the one who holds that Israel Lebaal is a function of the destruction of the marriage. He says to Rabbeinu Tam, she's Asura Lebaal in that case. She must be Asura Lebaal. Rabbeinu Tam would say, what are you talking about? We can distinguish between them. Rabbeinu Tam says no. The Rivam says no. If there's an Israel Lebaal, there has to be an Israel Lebaal. Because the Israel Lebaal is a function of destroying their relationship. And therefore, the Rivam is the same exact person who says that Gershon Eskayer Kekatan Shanola Dami won't be relevant. It's a Metzias. He destroyed that marriage. That marriage is still destroyed as a function of his actions. A change in his halachic status, a special halachic principle of Gershon Eskayer Kekatan Shanola Dami, can't do anything to change that. So it will still be an Israel Lebaal.
No get out of jail free card.
No get out of jail free card. Okay. We'll leave off with that. Are there any outstanding questions or issues or anything like that? That's a great question. So the Achronim have a debate as to whether or not after Matan Torah,